Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, we are now joined on our show from the ACC Network. One of the great writers, commentators now, actually showing up everywhere. David Hale is with us. A show almost every night, or I guess every night during the season, with Andrea Adelson. And here during the spring, some great preview shows, all access on the ACC Network. And now, of course, appearing on our show and we're delighted to have David Hale with us. Dave, thanks for being with us. Great times here as we head toward the summer. And I don't even know where to start with you. ACC meetings or the 24 hours you spend at Buc-ee's?
Well, let's see. Which one is the higher journalistic achievement? Okay, let's start with Buc-ee's.
How, you know, my wife said to me, can we go to Buc-ee's? I said, it's in Daytona Beach. It's 5 hours from us. But you spent 24 hours there.
Yeah. I lost a bet with our friend Andrea Adelson, and foolishly, before I had lost this bet at the beginning of the season, we make our ACC picks every year, and previously this has been relatively low stakes wager, but we foolishly said that our Twitter audience could vote on the punishment for the loser. I should say here too, there is no reward for the winner. This bet is strictly to punish the dumber of the two of us, and you'll be shocked to learn that most years the dumber of the two of us is me. So anyway, our Twitter audience chose 24 hours spent in a Buc-ee's. So yeah, a couple weeks ago I had to pay up. We went to the Daytona Beach Buc-ee's. I lived there for a day. It was a life-altering experience in many ways. I've come out a wiser, a more open-minded, a person with a much higher cholesterol level is really, I think, probably my big takeaway from that.
They say there's going to be a Buc-ee's further south, so we'll see. Maybe I'll get to one.
They're opening up new ones all the time. They're opening up one up here in North Carolina too, like halfway between like Charlotte and Raleigh. So, the Buc-ee's footprint is expanding as we speak.
Well, one of the big headlines outside of Buc-ee's is Carson Beck, why he is in for a big 2025. So for our audience, maybe we should start there. I want to get to the ACC and all of that stuff. But you have a complete rankings of 136 quarterbacks.
I don't know what was the more exhausting, stupid experience. Spending 24 hours in a Buc-ee's or trying to figure out the depth chart at Missouri State. So, you know, it's a sliding scale. But yes, I put together, I deep dive statistical analysis, used my magic eight ball, the whole nine, to rank all 136 programs. And I don't have Miami number one, but I think that they certainly could be at year's end. And really, you know, it's funny because I feel like a lot of people view Carson Beck as a risky proposition because of how he performed on the field last year. I would argue there's some risk just because he's coming off of that injury. I think there's some risk because he's definitively a different person and style of player than Cam Ward. But, like, I think he was really good last year. Like, I know his numbers weren't what they were in 2023, but to me, people are sleeping on Carson Beck.
Yeah, I think it's easy to go, he didn't throw as many touchdowns last year as the year before, and so it's a gamble for Miami. I think he's going to be very good. The headline is why he is in for a big 2025. Why do you think he's going to have success with the University of Miami?
Yeah, so, you know, the biggest thing, and I feel like people sort of don't grasp this because we're talking about Georgia, a team that won, you know, back-to-back national champions, and then the year that they didn't still went, 13-1? Like, it's Georgia's an elite program. There's no question about it. But Georgia's offensive talent last year was not elite. You know, this was not the same team that had Ladd McConkey and Brock Bowers. This was a team that turned in its worst rushing performance in like 20-some years. And so you look at who Carson Beck had to work with offensively, and it was not good. So I just went back and looked at some, you know, basic numbers that really have nothing to do with Carson Beck. So you look at contested catches. What percentage did Georgia's receivers come down with last year versus the year before? It was down dramatically. Look at drops. They were up dramatically. So, like, they weren't getting separation. They weren't coming down with contested catches. They were dropping easy passes. You go through and just do the math on this, and this is a conservative estimate, but, like, do the math, and Carson Beck's numbers basically wouldn't have been markedly different in 2024 than they were in 2023 if you just had receivers making the same amount of plays on reasonably thrown footballs in 2024 that they did in 2023. So I say all of that as pretense to, I think there's every reason to believe he's going to have a better supporting cast in Miami this year than he did at Georgia last year, which, again, you know, sort of without digging into it feels weird because Georgia is such a good program, but it just was a little bit of a perfect storm last year where there weren't playmakers around him. The running game was not helping. And I think you saw a guy starting to press. He felt the pressure. I mean, I hear about this all the time from coaches, agents, and players about what comes along with big NIL money. And certainly Carson Beck is getting big NIL money both last year and this year. Is this pressure to perform at the highest level? And when he wasn't putting up those same numbers and people start talking, even if there's a very good rationale for it, you still feel this need to maybe press a little bit to make up for what's missing. And so you look at the turnover numbers, and I think that was probably, if you want to make a real critique, that's where it starts. Well, a lot of that just came from, in my opinion, him trying to do too much when the play wasn't there. So look, I add all of that up and I say, if he's healthy this year and Miami's supporting cast is what we think they should be, I don't see any reason why he doesn't have an exceptional year, one that at least probably surpasses last year, could come close to 2023, and maybe is another, again, I don't want to compare him to Cam Ward because I think they're markedly, markedly different people and players, but can be the type of guy who is a first overall draft pick if all goes well.
David Hale is our guest, ACC Network, and I would agree with you. You guys had a very you had an interesting question on your spring preview of the University of Miami, and the question was, will Shannon Dawson use the 2023 playbook or the 2024 playbook, meaning a playbook closer to Van Dyke or Cam Ward? And I'd say, I throw my own opinion in there and see what you think about this. I understand the comparison. I will edge toward the 2024 playbook because of this. I think in 2024, Shannon Dawson gave Cam Ward a ton of freedom and responsibility at the line of scrimmage to go with two plays. He could make the final decision. And I think because of the experience and the smarts of Carson Beck, he'll do the same thing.
I could not agree with you more on this. Like, look, as stylistically, is Carson Beck more of a Tyler Van Dyke player? Yes, he is. But I think people are misunderstanding a couple of key differences here in this whole conversation. One is that when Miami brought in Cam Ward last year, the sales pitch was not, we're going to let you run all over the place and do ridiculous things. He did that, and that was awesome, and it was fun to watch, but that was not what he was brought in to do. Miami brought him in with the promise of, we are going to make you an NFL quarterback. We are going to convince every NFL doubter of what you can do, and that means giving you a lot of empowerment at the line of scrimmage, letting you adjust protections, letting you call out receivers, letting you sit back in the pocket and throw the ball. I would argue if there was a true, I guess, critique of Cam last year, it was that oftentimes he'd sit in the pocket longer than he probably should have because he could keep moving around to extend a play and extend a play. But the point is he was not like this, you know, scramble on every down quarterback. I think people remember like the little shovel pass against Virginia Tech, and that defined him. But down in and down out, he was a drop back, chuck the ball around quarterback, and he did it really well. Carson Beck can do exactly that. And then the other thing, as you, I think, very astutely noted, the strength of Cam Ward was his experience. The fact that you could put him in and let him lead an offense and make decisions on the field. Well, Carson Beck can do all of that too. So, yeah, I mean, he's probably not the improvisational threat that Cam Ward was. I think when plays break down, that's not ideal for Carson Beck. It's not ideal for Cam Ward either, but he was better prepared to make something of nothing. Most quarterbacks make nothing of nothing. Cam Ward was one of the few magicians who makes something of nothing on a regular basis. But here's the other great news if you're Carson Beck or a Miami fan this year. They probably have the best offensive line, right, certainly in the ACC, maybe in America. So, like, the plays should be nothing. Plays should be minimized this year.
Right, the offensive line. And, you know, the other question would be, Beck's coming off the arm injury. So then one of the questions we've had all spring is, all right, do they lean on Carson Beck or do they lean on Mark Fletcher and the running game, Jordan Lyle? Fletcher can give you the thunder and Jordan Lyle can give you the lightning, and that's not a bad option either.
No, and look, this is the whole point, really, I think, is that there are options at Miami. Look, I think this is still going to end up being Carson Beck's offense. And talking to Mario Cristobal, I didn't come away with the sense that he's concerned about the injury at all with Beck. Like, look, we all know that you are one quarterback injury away from your season going in the toilet. And no disrespect to Emery Williams or whomever else is in that quarterback room, but if Carson Beck has a serious injury at any point, or even is nagged by an injury at any point, it's going to affect Miami's season. But again, I don't think you need to think of this offense. I guess this is probably where people talk about the difference in how the offense or the playbook might look between Beck and Ward. I don't think it needs to be game is in Carson Beck's hands every game. It's not. That said, I do think, you know, there is probably something to be said about there's going to be times when your quarterback needs to go out and win you a game. And I've watched enough of Carson Beck over 2 years to think that I don't have a lot of doubts that he is capable of doing that. And in fact, I would argue after last year, he's really hungry to prove something. And if you want to talk about what was the extra edge with Cam Ward last year, it was that level of confidence and desire to prove himself. I mean, there was not a guy who wanted to thumb his nose at the critics more than Cam Ward last year. And I'm not, again, I think personality-wise, they're very different people, but I think that Carson Beck heard enough from idiots like me last year to say, this year really means something to me.
David Hale is our guest, ACC Network, also ESPN.com, up on ESPN.com, a ranking of all 137 quarterbacks. I don't know, this project must have taken you forever, but Miami's ranking is pretty high. You also have some fun facts inside this article. For example, 8 quarterbacks in the playoff era have racked up at least 4,100 yards and 43 touchdowns while having 7 or fewer turnovers. And one of those guys is a returning player inside the ACC, and somebody all of a sudden people are really high on, not only the quarterback, but the team as well. And that is Clemson. The resurgence of Clemson seems to revolve around Cade Klubnik.
Yeah, it's funny because I think if you go back 10 years, the Cade Klubnik story would look like a genuine success story. And I think this is largely the same, I guess, basic premise for Drew Aller at Penn State. You get recruited as a highly touted recruit. You're not expected to play a whole lot your freshman year. You get a little action, and you look good at times, you look bad at times. Then you come out your sophomore year, and you're clearly much better, but you're learning a lot on the job. Then you come out your junior year, and boy, all the pieces are there, and you look like you're right on the precipice of something big. And then you come out your senior year, and you put up Heisman-caliber numbers. That's the story that it used to be for every big-time quarterback. Then things changed a whole lot because we had guys like Trevor Lawrence and Caleb Williams who came in and were superstars immediately. And we had the transfer portal that allowed every team to go out and get a veteran quarterback as soon as they needed one. And they didn't want to give their guys time to develop. Well, I don't know how much any of that could be the norm. The norm is still, in my mind, in an ideal world, a lot of what the story of Cade Klubnik is. So, look, are we projecting a little bit with Klubnik based on the trend lines? Yes. And you know, everybody seems very high on Clemson. I'm high on them, but maybe a little more dubious than most because I still want to see something. And I look at some of their biggest games last year. I mean, they were boat raced by Georgia. I know the final score didn't show up, but they were boat raced by Louisville. And they came back nicely in the Texas playoff game, but they still really weren't in a position to win that game at any point. But you did see improvement. And the other big thing, my takeaway on why I'm high on Klubnik is, for the first time in a long time, he has real weapons on the outside. I mean, Antonio Williams came back and had a great year, but his two best receivers are probably two guys who were true freshmen last year, and they had good years. But that was a learning on the job year last year for T.J. Moore and Brian Wesco. They are poised to be elite wide receivers. If Clemson can block up front and run the ball a little bit just to keep the offense balanced, boy, they're going to be explosive, and I think Klubnik's in for a really good season.
I think Clemson's going to be very good. They opened the season with LSU. I think that will tell a little bit of their story. I think they're very good. I don't think they're as great as they were in their heyday, but we'll see how that shakes out. It is important, though, to the ACC, right, that Clemson's really good. It's important that Miami's really good, and it's important that Florida State bounces back, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, this has been the story of the ACC forever. And look, frankly, it's probably didn't get enough attention that, like, Miami and Clemson both won 10 games last year. Like, that's good. It just still felt like a little bit of a disappointing season because neither of them reached the ultimate highs of last season. And SMU, for most of the regular season, was the best team in the ACC, and that didn't look great for the league. But, you know, the ACC is always fighting this narrative bubble. But to your point, it also didn't help that FSU was a 2-10 team last year. I mean, it is almost impossible to put into words all that had to go wrong in order to get to that point. Because, you know, frankly, a team with the talent level that Florida State had last year, you should be able to run that team out on the field and get to 6-6 by basically just showing up. And I'm not even sure that Florida State managed that on a game in and game out basis, particularly as the season wore on last year. It was just an absolute perfect storm of horribleness. But I think it also underscored that in the new era of college football with the portal and the way that teams are built and NIL and all of the stuff that goes in with it, that the margin between being an 8-4 team and a 2-10 team is not that wide anymore. It doesn't take much to nudge the boulder down the hill and pick up a lot of steam as it goes. So, you know, it's crucial for teams that have high expectations not to fall off a cliff early because it can get real bad. Now, I think my takeaway on that is it does not take as much for Florida State to rebound to at least adequacy this year. So the question is, to me, is Florida State an adequate team or can they actually be a real contender? I'm dubious. I don't love the quarterback situation choice that they made this year, just as I didn't love the quarterback choice that they made last year. To me, you got to get it right at the most important position on the field. And FSU absolutely didn't last year. It was not their only problem, but it was a big and obvious one. You know, they had culture problems last year, and the quarterback they brought in quit on his team after he got benched last year. That, to me, is a red flag. But, again, they should be able to roll off the bus and go 6-6 this year. The ACC really needs them at least 8-4, maybe 9-3, and that's a much more reasonable path forward for them.
Before we let you go, at some point, I want to get your perspective on where the ACC is, and I'm looking at it, and on one hand, you go, well, they're ripe for teams to get picked off. They're talking about, can the conference stay together? And then all of a sudden, the coaching in this league, well, you got the AFC sitting here. We got Belichick, Frank Reich, and Bill O'Brien. So we got like the AFC East coaching staff inside the ACC. So let me get to Belichick, and Carolina hires him. Seemed like it was going pretty well, and then it's gone horribly wrong. How is this tale going to unfold?
I don't know, and that's the fun of it. Like, you could tell me almost any ending to this story, and I would believe it, because who the heck knows at this point? Personally, I think we are way overblowing the girlfriend situation. To me, what she's proven she's awfully good at is creating attention in the attention economy. But, you know, for us sort of middle-aged, staid old journalist white guys, like, it feels weird because this doesn't happen in college football, which is traditionally an exceptionally conservative sport. But, like, this is, you know, it sells papers is what they used to say. Nobody buys papers anymore, period. But the fact is that they got a lot of attention because of this. I'm actually more concerned about the on-field products and the way that he's gone about things so far. Like, we don't know a whole lot because he's not allowed a single player to even talk to the media or assistant coach. His assistant coach staff, I mean, people are arguing about him letting his girlfriend do PR for him. He's letting two of his kids coach on the team.
Yeah.
Like, his entire circle is small and based largely on nepotism. So does that work out? I don't know. I'm dubious. Carolina has a very favorable schedule. You don't get 6 Super Bowl rings by accident. Maybe it all works out. I could also see them, you know, in a Florida State position and this being a complete train wreck. And she'll get blamed for all of it, I'm sure, because that's how we do things. And it'll be fun. The whole thing will be fun. If they're 10-2, it's going to be great fun. If they're 2-10, it's going to be great fun. I'm just hoping they're not exactly what they were last year. That'll be kind of boring.
Does he have a quarterback? Do they have a quarterback?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'd love to see Max Johnson get healthy and get back out there. And I think he'd actually be a decent fit. But you watched that injury from week one last year, and I don't know how you come back within a year from that and be ready to go. Gio Lopez is fine. But, even if Gio Lopez is what they want him to be, I think you're probably still talking about him in the bottom half of ACC quarterbacks. I don't know. I think this is not a great team on paper. And so you say, well, if he's such a great coach, maybe this team is more than the sum of its parts. He's never coached a college football game before. I don't know how much I like the staff. Like, all of these things. I got a lot of questions about Carolina. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. David Hale is our guest from the ACC Network. We could talk about the quarterbacks in this league. I think they've done a pretty good job of getting pretty good of getting quarterbacks. Louisville, I guess the kid from USC. But let's jump to this big broad picture. ACC meetings were last week in Ponte Vedra. What was the most impactful thing that came out of the meetings?
Well, you know, look, on one hand, there's stability. The lawsuits have been dropped. There's some stability in the league for the near term. Jim Phillips was asked, what is the near term? And he basically said, 4 to 6 years. So you got 4 to 6 years to get your house in order and figure out the future. What does the future look like? Well, there's a lot of argument right now about what the future of the college football playoff is, because there is this push to have it get to 14 or 16 teams and to have auto bids for each conferences, in which the SEC and Big Ten would get 4 each, and the Big Ten or the ACC and the Big 12 would get two each. Well, when you talk to folks inside the ACC, they are not surprisingly furious about that prospect because it says that they are both half as good as the Big Ten and the SEC and on equal footing with the Big 12. They do not believe either of those things. Now, I think if you left it to the football gods to figure out over a long period of time, it might average out to a 4-4-2-2 scenario either way. But I would also argue, like, it's the fun of a season is that one year doesn't have to look like the last year. And this sort of format codifies what I think the bigger brands, the bigger conferences want right now and would essentially be, you know, signing the death warrant for the ACC in the long term. How much sway the ACC and Jim Phillips have to fight back against that is anybody's guess. I've talked to ADs who say fight tooth and nail, and if the SEC and Big Ten threaten to walk away and start their own playoff, let them do it. Call their bluff. And then I've talked to other ADs who say, like, hey, if we're guaranteed two, that's better than some years we might have only had one. Let's enjoy this while we can. It just kind of goes to show you that it's not just the ACC that's very up in the air 4 to 6 years from now. I think all of college football is.
Yeah, college football, I mean, maybe they'll get to, you know, some number of 64, 72, 84, I don't know. You know, people want to be, make sure that they are in somehow, but I do not see just a college football championship of SEC and Big Ten.
I mean, I would love to agree with you. Again, it's sort of like, you know, you're playing poker and you're assuming that the other side does not have four of a kind. They might have four of a kind, though. You know, you can call their bluff and they might not be bluffing. And if that happens, there is going to be tremendous blowback. I think it would damage the sport. I think eventually there would be lawsuits galore. The networks would be furious about it. Eventually, it'll all work itself out one way or the other. But I think there is a real bit of wariness among the have-nots right now. Which, any if you're not the SEC or the Big Ten, you qualify as a have-not. That we can't overplay our hand, and so Jim Phillips is approaching this cautiously, which I can understand. The question is, does the ACC have a winning hand? Is there a way for them to win this game? I'm not sure that the answer is yes.
Well, there is a way. I will say this about the ACC. Obviously, for years and years, a basketball conference getting stronger in football, more investment in football. I'm not so sure that I'm always all in on the way the league presents is football product in many different ways. And I do think they need to lean on the price of doing business, but they need to lean on the Clemsons and the Miamis and the Virginia Techs and their big brands. Somehow they've got to figure out how to make those big brands the most important in football.
Well, to your point, Joe, I think all of this starts with one very elegant and simple solution that the ACC has somehow managed to avoid for a long time, which is you've got to go out and win football games. You know, you've got to go out. Florida State has to win football games. Miami has to win football games. Clemson has to win football games. Virginia Tech has to win football games. And it's just been, we've had moments where one of them have done it, but not enough where they've done it consistently or on the biggest stages. And 2-11 in bowl season last year was bad. Getting blown out by Georgia if you're Clemson is bad. Florida State going 2-10 is bad. It's hard to twist that story into a product that sells. And so at the end of the day, you can ask Jim Phillips to turn cartwheels to make the league look good. Nothing will make the league look better than if those big brands win big football games.
Yep, no question about that. David, you've been great, very gracious with your time. Very much appreciate it. ACC Network, ESPN.com. Are you and Andrea on now here in the summertime, or do you get a vacation?
Our season finale was in Amelia Island. I assume, because no one has told me otherwise, that we'll be back in August at some point. But the beauty of our show is they'll just rerun it 7,000 times, so you might still find it at some point.
Yeah, we'll find it, ACC Network. Okay, I'll see you at one of our games, I'm sure, or on campus or someplace. Thanks very much for being with us. Greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, Joe. Good talking to you, bud.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.